Hi, and welcome to our podcast. Today we're going to be looking at the readings for the 18th week of Ordinary Time 2019. But before we dive into that, let us do our prayer before reading. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, you instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now the readings for this 18th week of Ordinary Time are as follows. The first reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says Queoleth, vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. Here is one who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and yet to another who has not labored over it, he must leave property. Also it is vanity and a great misfortune, for what profit comes to man from all the toil and anxiety of heart, which he has labored under the sun? All his days, sorrow and grief is his occupation. Even at night, his mind is not at rest. This also is vanity. The word of the Lord. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
You turn man back to dust, saying, Return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday. Now that it is past, or as a watch of the night. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the glorious, gracious care of the Lord God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The second reading is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Alleluia, alleluia. And the gospel is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. He replied to him, Friend, who has appointed me as your judge and arbitrator? Then he said to the crowd, Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest. And he said, This is what I shall do. I shall tear down the barns and build a bigger one. Then I shall store my grain and all other goods. And I shall say to myself, Now as for you, you have so many things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this night Your life I will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus it will be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. The Gospel of the Lord. So here we have our readings, we have our reflection, and we begin to look through them. One of the things that I think is kind of interesting as we go through this is the refrain from the responsorial today. It basically tells us that if today we hear his voice, we should not harden our hearts. Now, why is this? What is the importance of not hardening your heart in this manner? Well, it really begins with understanding what it means to actually receive the word of God. And I'm going to go through the parable of the sower, because the sower goes out, sows a seed. He scatters it upon various grounds. The first ground that it falls upon is basically a walk path. And it says that the birds swoop down, take the seed and carry it away, and then there's nothing left over. The reason why this is important is because it reminds me of a conversation I had with a woman not too long ago. She was coming out of a church service, and I kind of asked her what was the message that she heard, you know, being curious about what she got out of what she had just gone into this church service. And she basically said, oh, it just touched me in some, you know, personal way. And I go, really, how? I mean, what was the message? I mean, I'm asking about the message. And she got upset because she thought I was asking about her personal business. I was like, no, you go to the Avengers, and you watch it, and you see the movie, you understand something about it. It may move you in some unique way, but you remember a certain line or certain things that happen, and you can kind of retell, give a synopsis of the plot. And depending upon how much you give, you know, you could give away the ending or not, depending upon how it goes. Same thing when you go to church. If you go to church and you hear somebody preaching a message, what is the message that they give? I mean, even from these podcasts, do you at least hear something that you can kind of grab onto a seed, or does it just kind of come and go depending upon your day? I mean, if you can't remember anything of what I said, then either I've done a really bad job or you weren't listening. You hardened your heart. You didn't receive the seed, because that's what's the message that's important. We need to be able to let seed get into us. This is why we don't harden our hearts. If today we hear his voice, we don't harden our hearts. And this is the key to understanding all these readings today. Because the first reading comes to us from the book of Ecclesiastes. And it basically talks about vanity of vanity. It's one of the most quoted lines in Scripture that people kind of talk about and throw around. But really, what does it mean? Quiolus, the teacher, or the one who's speaking in this first reading, looks about him and, seeing the reality of life and death, wisely concludes that to amass wealth is futile, since we cannot take our material forward with us after death. And that's why he says vanity of vanities is everything. I mean, there's nothing that you do on this earth that, if you put it aside, is going to travel with you forward. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he talked to the crowds, and even Paul was talking about. Because Paul, in his address to the Colossians, invites them to refocus their attention from the things of this world to the things above, to do what Scripture tells you, to store up treasure in heaven. I mean, this is kind of the basic theme that's kind of that's right there in the message of the Scriptures today. Paul is addressing them to refocus their attention, because in knowing that you're raised with Christ from the dead, you should be focused to those things, to rise above those struggles in the world and truly find what brings you into the likeness of Christ in the world. Because if we set our hearts to focus on Christ, we will grow rich in God. We'll actually receive the seed that comes to us in the gospel reading and all the readings, and really understand what it is we're supposed to be becoming. Because if you know the seed, if you hear his voice, you don't harden your heart, you know the seed that's been planted in the ground and that can actually bloom and grow up into good seed, good ground, good reality of what's going on, and truly get where it needs to be in life. So that's kind of the first important thing here. So we have that as our basis of fact. It also allows us to focus a little bit more on what Jesus was talking about in his gospel, in his gospel reading, because it mirrors everything when we really understand what it's talking about. Because Paul talks about having our focus on things above rather than the things of earth, to realize that our life is now hidden with Christ. And that's why we put to death everything in our nature that's rooted on earth. All the sins of immorality, all those sins of like fornication or being full of evil desires or desiring evil gain that realistically is considered idolatry. Because the real reason why the love of money is the root of all evil is because it replaces God with something else. It replaces God with material goods. And this is something in our society that is focused on what is in it for me, what is the benefit of doing such and such for whatever reason, how does it benefit me, really needs to understand that when you are only looking at getting things, whether it's sex, whether it's power in political sphere or fame or fortune of any kind, that those things become idols that replace God. And we should stop lying about this and really know what it is. Because in Christ, there is only one thing that matters, that we are formed anew in the image of our Creator. That's the whole point of everything here. And this is what Jesus was addressing, because when somebody in the crowd basically asked him to tell his brother to give him his share of the inheritance, instead he tells them the parable of a rich man. He tells them that that's the wrong way to be. I mean, I know what it's like to be cheated out of things in an inheritance, but that's not supposed to be the focus of my life. The focus of my life is really what is the thing that God himself is going to bestow on you. Because it comes down this way. The rich man had a good harvest, and he wanted to store it and save it. He wanted to basically keep it where it needed to be. He wanted to have a bigger bank account. He wanted that Powerball. He wanted everything along those lines. So if you're really looking to hit the Powerball, you're going to get the story of the rich man. Seriously. That's how Jesus answers that prayer to very many people. It's sad if you really don't think about it, because What's the point? You really want to amass things so that you can live more comfortably? I mean, listen to how people talk about it. If I hit the Powerball, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do this, I'll do that. I'll start this business, I'll do that thing, or I'll go see this, I won't work for so long, or I'll do like this job because I don't need to work anymore, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's all about them and their life of ease that comes about from winning the lottery. And then if you watch the stories of all those people that have hit the lottery big and how it's changed their lives, you see a lot of them are broke within, I think it's 5 years is the average, or maybe it's 3 years. I think five is what was the average. I think it's moved to three, that they spend ridiculously. I mean, you have famous people like Mike Tyson and even MC Hammer, who go broke when they hit the millions because they do things that are kind of stupid, to be honest with you. I mean, they really are. And this is really the basis for what Jesus is talking about here. Because this fool wanted to amass wealth, wealth that upon his death, he could not take with him into eternity. And it's through this parable that Jesus teaches that possessions and wealth are not necessarily bad, but they're not supposed to be the focus of our life. One's attitude towards possession is what matters. It's not having a bunch of goods. It's how you relate to those goods. Do you really provide for the needs of others when you're holding on to these goods? Because that's really what the reality of it is. Are these goods really the means and the end of everything that you want? The danger that we have is that we become possessed by our possessions, keeping our focus on things and wealth rather than on God. The center of our life goes out of balance. In fact, that's the reason why when the rich man came forward and Jesus said, all you need is to do one thing, sell all you have, give to the poor, and follow me, he was trying to get him to let go of his possessions.
And the scripture says that he had great wealth. He was a very wealthy man. In fact, there is a way you read the Greek, and it comes out to mean that the possessions really had him, because he had this great amount of wealth that he could not let go. He had all these things that were more important than basically life itself, doing the right thing. And that's what got him in trouble. I mean, you see, the danger here is greed. It is a thing that we hear about in the second reading when Paul says the greed, which is idolatry, because it's a lust that can never be fulfilled. Well, what is an example of lust that can't be fulfilled? Well, let's look at what's determined to be the living wage. Many people use this as a thing to say that you should raise minimum wage, which is good in and of itself, but what constitutes a living wage? For a person living in the Midwest, the living wage will be a little bit different than somebody living in California, because there's a cost of living that's different between both cities. Just looking at rent in Los Angeles versus, say, St. Louis, you'll see that there's a couple hundred dollars worth of difference between what you get in one place and what you do in another because of the cost of living in both areas. So to try to cry for a certain cost of living increase might be reasonable in a certain city or a certain metropolitan, but it won't necessarily be the same in, say, Mount Pleasant, Iowa. And trying to deal with it the same is part of the problem with our economy system nowadays. Also, what constitutes living wage? Used to be they figured the poverty line was what your rent would be versus your groceries and other bare necessities. But nowadays, people think that a need is having that cell phone that has Angry Birds on it, or whatever your app is that you're excited about, God of War or whatever that is. That's now considered to be a need, or being able to play Candy Crush and do all these unlimited upgrades that cost something, or chase around Pokemon because you got to catch them all. You know, these are the things that we now consider to be needs. I mean, I knew when I was in seminary what my needs really were. I had a car that I needed to drive around that broke down and nobody would fix, and that caused other problems. I had a cell phone that I already had set up before I even went to college, and it was something that I could have afforded if nothing else would have gone wrong with my life. I had a credit card that was already overdrawn almost. It was completely blanked out. I had basically $4,000 worth of debt on the credit card that I was paying off slowly while earning only $150 a month from the diocese, and then an additional $100 from the Knights of Columbus once they realized we were really broke. And that was something that was given to all of the seminarians. I had a car that was broke down that I couldn't fix because I didn't have enough money to do it. And when my tooth needed a root canal, that took $1,100 plus to pay, which took the $500 Christmas gift from the Knights of Columbus plus my income tax refund, which was about $700 for the year of 2016. And there it was. I was back to pretty much being broke and poor and still no way to fix the car, no matter what people thought. And people weren't listening to me when I was talking about it. But that's the reality. I wasn't being in there for greed and being about what was entitled to me. I was just trying to survive. And you needed a car to get around to some of the assignments that they wanted you to get because they weren't next door to the seminary. I know when I went down to Heron during my pastoral year, I had to buy a car. I had to get a PT Cruiser, which I worked out a sweet deal with somebody on. And thank God I had some money that was available to me to be able to make that happen because of Father Paul Kelly and his assistance in that matter. Eternal rest be granted unto him now that he's passed away, and hopefully he's in heaven waiting for us. He's a really great man that I hope really gets through and sees the face of God the way that he ought, because he was at least one of the few that actually listened and found out what I was all about at that time. So I had a PT Cruiser that was able to get me around to the assignment that I was at, and also do a two-hour drive from Heron, Illinois, to St. Louis once a week to be able to report in for psychological counseling, because that was part of the human formation during my pastoral year.
And the thing that I always found kind of funny is they never got around to giving me a spiritual director, because I had the human quote-unquote director, but never the spiritual director, which was a big sign to me throughout that I was never moving forward into the priesthood. And whenever I asked about it, it was always something that was going to be later. We'll figure it out at some point down the road. So I never really got that other thing, and I let it go because they let it go. And I knew, because of the way it was let go, that there really was nothing moving me forward. So I was pretty much in a pickle all the way around. So who knows? Just leaving it there. But this is the point. We're not supposed to be hung up on greed. We're supposed to real understand the perspective towards possessions is that these things are vanity. These things are empty. These things have no meaning to us, because in reality, they're just a means to an end. They're like a fork that helps you eat a meal. They're not the end result. Because this is the perspective that we need to have. We need to realize that we are dead in Christ and we are raised with Him in heavenly places. We are now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ appears, we will also be changed in the twinkling of an eye and show our glorified self, just like He is. Because as He is, so shall we be for all eternity. And that's really the big message that comes out of this. That's the seed. This is the the word of the Lord, that's the seed, that you shouldn't have an improper idea of what possessions are. You should have a right balance and really understand them. Because if you truly understand what really is important, namely knowing God and knowing Him alone, then you truly will be blessed.